This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome the host of this broadcast, Christina Sasso.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, friends and partners, listeners and new listeners, everyone out there. I just want to let you know I'm going to be doing today's Godcast in a continuation of a Godcast I did a while ago called The Bondservant. And it's actually the first in a series of articles I did going through the book of Romans. And now I'm just going to make it into a podcast. All right, so we're going to start with Romans 3. And the title of this podcast is Not for Justification. So Romans is an awesome, and I mean that word literally, awesome chapter to really understand what your salvation means, what Jesus did on the cross. I mean, they're all great, but this one really clarified it for me. So let's just dive right in. And if you read the first 9 verses of Romans, Paul very clearly proved that we're all guilty before God. Doesn't matter what your background, where you came from, Jew, Gentile, religious, pagan, moral, immoral, if you're a good person, you're a bad person, you were guilty before God. So God's plan of a sacrificial death of Jesus, our Savior, that plan was his plan all along. When Adam fell in the garden, it wasn't a big surprise to God. He knew this was going to happen. And what's amazing is he knew this was going to happen, and yet he created man anyway, because he loved us so much. And I actually read recently in a book by Kenneth Copeland that God wanted somebody to love. I mean, he's just so much love. He just wants to love more and more and more. So he created man to love. He created a family. He said to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus, and he said, let's create them in our image. So he created a family that he could provide for, that he could bless, because he just loves us so much. That being said, he had a plan of redemption all along, because he loved us. So he knew right from the foundations of the earth that he was going to send Jesus as our Savior. And Jesus knew too, and so did the Holy Spirit, and they all were in agreement. So people would never be able to make up for their sin, so God provided the solution. And what he did was he paid the price himself. So we can't save ourselves through our own righteousness. I mean, we couldn't save ourselves anyway, no matter how good you try to be. That righteousness was as filthy rags. We couldn't do it. So we needed a Savior, and Jesus Christ provided that means to salvation. And through faith in Jesus the Messiah, not through our own moral goodness. I have heard so many people say to me, well, I'm a good person. I don't hurt anybody. I'm good. But it doesn't matter how good you think you are. Without Jesus and without his righteousness, it just doesn't fly. Now, this may surprise some Christians. Our salvation has nothing to do with how holy we are, because, again, we could never measure up to the holiness that we would need. Only Jesus could measure up. So Jesus came to deliver us from the law of the Old Testament. Now, the law of the Old Testament was never meant for Christians. That law was given to the Jews. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. I mean, when I first heard that, I was like, yeah, you know, that makes sense. The law of the Old Testament was never meant for the believer of the New Testament, never meant for Christians. That law was given to the Jews. So that begs the question, what's the purpose of the law? If it was only for the Jews, then what was the purpose of the law, if not to show us how to live? Now, hold on to your hats here. This may shock you. The law was given to the Jews to produce guilt. What? Yes, listen again. I'll say that again. The law was given to the Jews to produce guilt. All right, now this is exciting. Now, I'm just going to read it right out of Scripture. And I usually read from the Amplified, so here it is. So this is from Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that the murmurs and excuses of every mouth may be hushed, and all the world may be held accountable to God. For no person will be justified, made righteous, acquitted, and judged acceptable in his sight by observing the works prescribed by the law. For the real function of the law is to make men recognize and be conscious of sin, not a mere perception, but an acquaintance with sin which works towards repentance, faith, and holy character. Now that was Romans 3, 19 and 20. Most Jews and Christians today mistakenly think the law was given as something, as a measuring stick, something to measure up our holiness to. So we're going to look at that law and say, well, I did that and I did that. I missed it there. I got it there. Oh, okay. I'm not doing so bad. So it's a way to measure our holiness and to earn our salvation. So the more we keep the letter of the law, the closer we are to our holiness. No. Let me repeat. The law will not produce justification. The law was not given to the New Testament Christians, the believers. It's not for justification, and that was never its purpose. What's the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law was to kill and condemn. What? I know. I said it again. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 9. Now, if the dispensation of death engraved in letters on stone, the ministrations of the law, was inaugurated with such glory and splendor that the Israelites were not able to look steadily at the face of Moses because of its brilliance, a glory that was to fade and pass away, why should not the dispensation of the Spirit, this spiritual ministry whose task it is to cause men to obtain and be governed by the Holy Spirit, be attended with much greater and more splendid glory? For if the service that condemns, the ministration of doom, had glory, how infinitely more abounding in splendor and glory must be the service that makes righteous, the ministry that produces and fosters righteous living and right standing with God. So here, Paul's doing a comparison of the law with the comparison of grace governed by the Holy Spirit. So the law was given to show people they could never do it on their own. The law was given to show people they were sinners. The law was given to show people they needed a Savior. So the law strengthened sin in us. Now, I know you're asking, why would God want to strengthen sin? That seems opposite of what he would want. Here's the answer to that. Because we were already beaten and defeated by sin. It wasn't like, oh wow, if I send the law to strengthen sin, they're really going to be in trouble. No. We were already in deep, deep trouble. We were already beaten and defeated by sin. But we didn't recognize that. You know that people tend to compare themselves to others. Like I said before, you look at the rule book and you say, oh, I got that one right. I got that one right. I missed that one. But I got that one right, that one right, that one. Oh, okay, so I missed two out of 20. Hey, at least I did better than that guy. That guy missed 5 out of 20. And that guy missed 10 out of 20. See, we compare ourselves to ourselves. So we can say, well, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. My sins aren't so terrible. I mean, nobody got hurt. I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't mean to hurt anybody if they did get hurt. I'm basically a good person. I know we've heard that, and we've probably all said it. I know I have. Unfortunately, in God's eyes, sin is sin. Yep, there's no levels of sin. There's no good sins, there's no bad sins, there's no really bad sins, and not so bad sins. They're all the same in God's eyes. We were deceived. It doesn't matter if we think we're better than someone else. It doesn't matter if you're a murderer or a gossiper. It's the same in God's eyes. Sin in God's eyes is sin. There is no level of sin. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, and the wages for sin, any sin, is death. James 2:10 says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So that means if you had a person who was able to do absolutely everything the law required, except for one teeny tiny little issue, according to God, he's guilty of all. So God gave Moses the law. It made sin and its lusts come alive in people. To those who would receive it, it became obvious that if this holy perfection of the law was what God demanded, then people could not be saved by their own goodness. So if you looked at the law and you saw what God demanded, you would say, yeah, you're right. I can't do it. It stripped us of every excuse and made us guilty before God. So what the law did was it gave us knowledge of just how sinful we were. Galatians 3:23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. The law took away every hope of salvation except faith in a Savior. That was the purpose of the law. Okay, so what does that mean for us today? Great news! It's too good to be true news, and it is true. We are no longer under the curse of the law. Woohoo! We are New Testament believers who do not have our righteousness through trying to fulfill the law. Oh, wow. What a burden is lifted. And anyone who tells you that you have to measure up and you have to achieve holiness through doing this or doing that, or look at this in the Old Testament, or look at the blessings and look at the curses if you don't do this or that. If anyone tells you that, they are deceived. And if you're hearing that preached, you're hearing a false doctrine. I'm not saying to beat people up. I'm not saying, you know, to go and yell at people. I'm telling you, pray for them. If you have an opportunity to show them in the scripture, then by all means, we want people's eyes open. We want people free, unburdened. You can't have it both ways. You're either under the curse of the law and have to keep every single precept, every single item of the law, or you're free from the law through the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who did fulfill every precept, every letter of the law, and he did it for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus exchanged our sinfulness for his righteousness. He took on our sin. We took on his righteousness. What a glorious thing. Now, I'm not saying that all the Old Testament is to be thrown out. Okay? I'm not saying any part of the Old Testament is to be thrown out. I'm not also saying that all of the Old Testament is the law. The law is certain parts of the Old Testament, and they're there to show you what we've been delivered from. And the Old Testament is great to read, to see how God blessed people and prospered people and healed people and brought people through impossible situations based on the blood of goats and lambs and sheep and bulls. How much better now that we're New Testament believers with the blood of Jesus. I encourage you to read the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So back to the law. Is the law useless? Well, let's look at Romans 3:31. Do we then, by this faith, make the law of no effect, overthrow it, or make it a dead letter? Certainly not. On the contrary, we confirm and establish and uphold the law. Now, the law is useless if you're trying to use it to produce justification. So if you're looking at the law and saying, okay, I got to measure up to this standard, then it's useless because that was never its purpose. God did not give us the law so we could keep it. God gave us the law to show us we could never keep it and to show us that we needed his great mercy and grace. And that purpose is still valid today. Now, if we look at 1 Timothy 1:8 to 9, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. What? What? What was that? I'm reading 1 Timothy 1:8-9. I didn't make this up. Okay, you look in your Bible. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. The law is not made for a righteous man. I am a righteous woman. If you put your faith in Jesus, your Savior, then you are a righteous man. You are a righteous woman. So the law is not made for you and me. The scripture clearly states the law is not made for a righteous man. So how are we righteous? Ah, I have good news and bad news. I gave you a little hint. The good news is I have the answer. The bad news is you'll have to wait until the next article in the series. I hope you enjoyed this. Please, I encourage you to read those scriptures for yourself. Pray in the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through it and give you revelation. Remember, you in your spirit have all knowledge and all wisdom, and the Holy Spirit wants to bring that into your natural mind. So I encourage you to do that as you read the scriptures. And most of all, be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.